There we go. We're now recording. Starting our session. Hello, hello.
Hello, everybody.
It's the guru.
Hello. That's good.
Jordan's here. Hello, hello. Rami has joined us. Hello, hello.
Yeah, Rami.
Yes, sir. I am sleeping on my roof these days.
You're good?
Yes, you could see right bed, no?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It's warm there, though, yes?
Yes, yes. It's warm. So I just wear sweater, you know, in case it goes a bit.
Yeah, it's still dark there.
Yeah, yeah, it's 4:45 a.m.
Yep, yeah.
Yeah, good for you.
Rami, when I worked in Juarez, Mexico, I used to sleep on the roof. It's the desert. Very hot.
We did get one question in the website. As soon as I find it again, sorry about that. I thought I had it. Here it is. It says, seem like the most difficult ignorance to dissolve is the ignorance of I know. Would you comment on this? Yeah, Maharaj says that no knowledge is knowledge. I know nothing would be proper knowledge. But this I is a formless I. So with what is this I identifying with? When I say I know, all I have to do is say, okay, let me find this I that knows. And if it's formless I, and I can say, okay, just I, this sense of presence I identify as I, then what knowledge could this sense of presence hold or have or need? It would all be false. That's why Maharaj says, remove the body and then talk with me, because any knowledge that is acquired as far as knowledge, as we know it, through the mind as a storehouse is useless. It's meaningless. It came along with the body. All knowledge, all relations, all activities, all world, all the words came along with body, and you're not body. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj gives the example of the library and says, okay, the library, the books have form, but what's the form of the knowledge within the books? There's nothing. All questions are because of a body based. In order to form a question, I have to have a body and say, I, as this body based experience, have a question about myself. But I and myself are not the body based existence. When I say I, if I'm identified with the body, then I believe I is the body. But I is not body, because you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. Body's not your identity. So formless I knows what? What is there to know? That's why Maharaj says, sky. Does India sky and America sky know each other? Do they know that they're India sky and America sky? No, there's no knowing. No knowledge is knowledge. Any knowledge that I think of in the intellectual sense, I'm holding on to as a someone. And I'm nobody. I'm everybody. There's nothing.
Yeah, it's almost a redundancy or ludicrous to taking the stance as that and then to say, I have this knowledge. It's like, who would you even be talking to?
Exactly.
You know, to stand as that, it's so rich just to be that. It's almost like it's going down another blind alley.
Yep. Formless presence experiencing this body-based illusion because this body is available. That's it. But in any activities that are done within the illusion. Any relations are done within the illusion. The idea of birth and death are in the illusion. The formless holder of the body is not experiencing any of these things. And that's why we go to dream. Dream, body is laying down sleeping. Dream world is projected. Little dream people are moving about. The dream is being projected from you. You know this because when you wake up, you say, oh, I had a nice dream, or I had not so nice dream. It's the same here. The entire world is projected on your spontaneous presence. And as someone was speaking about earlier, about what is like, okay, I'm seeing this form-based illusion, but I don't know that it's illusion. But you don't need to know that it's illusion. You just need to know yourself in a real sense. Once you know yourself in a real sense, as Maharaj says, that's the spontaneous conviction. Oh, so that I am that. Sitting in meditation, I sense that subtle sense of presence. It pulls you in. There's nothing. Just I, just I. No body feeling, no feeling, no nothing. And then you say, okay, well, I don't have to look at the world and say it's illusion. There's no need to say this. I remain with my selfless self. As long as you have a body, a five elemental body that's on loan from the five elements, there's going to be disturbance in the five elements. We know this because of weather, or even in a massive storm at sea. The deeper you go down in the sea, the less the storm. So the mind flow is on top, and you remain with your selfless self. You go deeper, deeper, deeper within your selfless self, and then these mind things won't bother you. You're too far below. All of this is just surface. Nothing to know except know yourself in a real sense. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. So who am I? So, Master has said, you are formless. You are Brahman, Atman, Paramatman, God, Master. These are the labels that have been given to the formlessness that needs no label. But because in the body-based illusion, we like to label things so that we can separate and say, I know something, I have something. But in reality, there's nothing. But nothing to the mind sounds scary. Nothing. Ooh, nothing. But nothing is just the absence of all the things that are not, except your own self, which is.
Yeah, when I'm in that state and in meditation too, sometimes it's like I'll even be in that and my mind tries to tell me it's nothing or that I'm doing it wrong or that it's not it. It's a, like kicking and screaming almost some days. And it's like, but I know that's it because it's appearing to me. And I'm already there, like as that. I think I'm talking kind of, because I had asked a couple of weeks back, I think when, about if mantra naturally drops off, like during meditation, and is it okay? And you responded that it was like normal, just to be in that. But it's interesting how like, and then I come away from it, I'm like, my mind is so, it's hilarious almost, because it's like, oh, that was really good for us. Like, we look, you know, look what we did. It's like, it's full of bullshit. If you'll excuse, you guys excuse my language, but it's just kind of funny how it works that way. It tries so hard to be like, well, you're doing it wrong. And so-and-so described it like this. And, you know, Ramakant said this, so it's not that. And it's just like, I know he would probably say, hey, dummy, just drop all the, you are that, like, just be like.
Drop all this thinking, remain totally blank, is what he said when he was in the USA visit. And someone was saying the same thing, like, you know, I'm in this beautiful presence. And then I start to have the thoughts of what a great meditation that was. And the idea is that if there's still a meditator, more meditation to erase that meditator. Because this identification with the mind wants to stamp a label of doership. Look what I'm doing. Because remember, without your attention, mind dies. There's no mind. And so mind is doing everything it can as this, you know, oh, look over here, look over there. This is very interesting. Look what we're doing. You know, that's the gunas that they talk about. And tamas is the sense of doership. I am the doer. Rajas is the movement. And sattva is just the pure being. And this tamas is a stirring that is taking credit for this stirring. Rajas stirs, tamas says, I'm stirring. And it's nothing. Movements in the formlessness that you are, and there's no deed, no doer. And we can fall back again to dream. All those characters in your dream that you're dreaming certainly don't believe that they don't exist. They're interacting quite nicely, most likely, in your dream, speaking and all, and you have a dream body in the dream. And there's an entire world that's projected. And none of those dream people are doing anything because it's formlessly projected in the consciousness as the body that you believe yourself to be is sleeping. And yet, if you were to kind of interview any of those dream characters, they would think you are nuts for saying that they don't exist. And it would be you that would be speaking through that little dream character saying, you're nuts for saying I don't exist.
And I guess that's true of the current, of the waking dream as well.
Yes, yes. Consciousness is consciousness, and appearing and disappearing within is waking or dream. Either one, same thing. The only separation is I am awake or I am dreaming. Neither is true, but that's the appearance of a separation between the waking state and the dream state. Because I identify with someone that can be awake or can be sleeping. But there's no such thing. There's no concept of sleep or awake. And that's why Maharaj says there's no consciousness, there's no subconsciousness, there's no awakening, there's no sleeping, there's no unawakening, there's no nothing. No disturbance, no movement, no nothing. Does the space in the room move? No. And like Maharaj would say, the sky isn't moving. It's not going anywhere. Even in a very heavy thunderstorm and lightning's coming and wind is blowing and tornado, sky is just remaining sky. Objects are appearing and disappearing within the sky, clouds, lightning, wind, but sky is sky. It's just there providing kind of the background of what we would label storm. Disturbance in the five elements. But this spontaneous conviction must be, as I was speaking to someone earlier, their book knowledge is only to get you to say, oh, there is this formlessness. There is this Brahman. There is this I am. I must find this. My master says this is the truth. My master says I am Brahman, I am Brahman. Now it's up to me to discover this. And Brahman is not anything specific. I don't discover Brahman by going to the dictionary or by going to those people who speak about the illusory concepts of what Brahman is. No, Brahman is a label for this formlessness that I am. Now I have to discover this. And as the penny drops, so to speak, spontaneous conviction, oh, so that I am that. Now I don't have to worry about, is the world illusion or is the world true? What happens when I die? Well, no, because I'm no longer identified with the body form that dies or that dissolves or that returns to the five elements. The formlessness can't die. It was never born.
So, sorry, if I understand correctly, the only thing matters is where this I falls. I mean, where is this I sense? That is the only important thing, I think, if we have to question.
Know yourself in a real sense, Maharaj says. Once you know yourself in a real sense, then when this, you can say I. You know, I don't sit there in a meeting in the business and say, let me think of another word other than I, because I'm not this I. So I say something different. Or I go out of my way to write an email and not use I. No, because now I'm taking the position of someone that's trying to not be I. But this is not the case. Know yourself in a real sense and then go about your daily activities. Body is the neighbor's child.
Mm-hmm.
I am formless. I absolutely know this. Mm-hmm. And I can't be convinced otherwise because I know myself directly in a real sense. So you could say, oh, no, John, you are the body. But no, because it doesn't make sense anymore. There's no place for these sticky concepts to stick. We talked about the hook. You can hang your hat on a hook, but if there's no hook, meaning there's no sense of I or who I am, and I put the hat on the wall, it just falls. So there's no concepts that can hang to you because you are formless. If a concept is sticking to you, you can right away say, oh, it's sticking to the idea I have about myself, but not myself. Because you don't need to have ideas about yourself. As a matter of fact, the sense I exist is what allowed this sense of duality to appear as real.
So that means attacking all these individual problems, understanding how we operate in the world, all these things. So these are endless. So
yeah, they're completely useless. You just remain with your selfless self and scenes will appear and disappear. You'll no longer be holding on to this idea of Rami living a life or that things are so important. You just remain with your selfless self. These scenes are going to appear and disappear. You're going to behave rightly in the moment. And that's it. Because you're not going to have this self-consciousness of how Rami is acting or how Rami appears to other people, or because there are no others. You'll know this because you just remain with your selfless self. And yet you can do your job, do your duties, take care of your family. Maharaj says this. But you don't have to be so involved because all these things are just spontaneous activities in the moment. Like you're talking about the interview. You can go into an interview and keep completely without even a thought about the interview, because it's just, there'll be questions asked and question response. And it's my own self. And if I'm even the slightest bit nervous, I can pay attention to the space in which the interview is occurring and know, oh, so that I am that. This interview is occurring within my selfless self. There's speaking and listening. And in the moment, I'm doing my best and leaving it. And it's the same as pick up the water, drink it, and put it back down. Everything is this way, no matter how much the mind thought may try to identify with, oh no, this is real serious. No. Mm-hmm. Serious for who? Serious for the body that I am not. That's why this question about I knowledge, there's no you there. You know this. Once you identify with yourself in a real sense, that you can't even, when you're speaking, there's no sense of any kind of thing back here. Touching now, you feel the face. Okay, feel the face. Maybe I'm thirsty, whatever. But there's just no sense of being anything.
But there is a being.
But not even an identification of a being. There's just, being is here because you are, but you don't have to announce you are. You, beingness, you are.
Yeah.
The sense of being is just, it's evident because it's here and they're speaking, but there's no sense of who it is that's speaking or where this speaking is coming from or that I'm speaking to someone else. There's none of this. There's nothing there. And like I said, you can touch your face. Okay, yeah, there's a face here. And when the video pops up and my face is there, I say, okay, that I can identify that's John. But I'm not John. I'm not this. Even in the projection on the screen, there's no sense of identity there. It's not a, because without identification with a flow of thoughts that's trying to contain you in a body, you're limitless. And limitless without the concept of being limitless, just you are.
Referring to what Jordan said earlier about look at what we did, or you know, the mind is making something out of nothing, really, something that's it seems to have existed because it passed, but it's passed, so it's not anything that's passed. You can't re-experience what was, but the memory thinks it is somehow re-experiencing something that lasts or something. But I was just thinking how ice cream seems to have its own value, but it can't, or its own existence, but it can't unless I'm here. And then I could say, well, ice cream, I know it's sticky to the body. But so, you know, I might be taking this position to try to prove that it's ice cream and the body and the stickiness all actually exist, because it seems, according to reason and according to experience, that all that stuff exists, but it can't. Ice cream would not exist, period, unless I am here to partake of it and to make it what it is.
Unless you had a body. If you're formless, how are you going to eat ice cream? You're going to use the body form to enjoy ice cream through the sensory experience of, oh, this is delicious. But see, mind, ego, intellect came along with the body. So anything that they try to conceptualize is from the body-based illusion, and you don't have to listen to this.
It's from that perspective, that limited perspective.
Yeah, if I'm eating ice cream, I'm not sitting here saying who's enjoying the ice cream. There's a sensory experience that this ice cream is quite delicious and quite very nice, and that's it. But also, tomorrow, I mean, hopefully, I'm not sitting at my desk saying, oh my God, you know, that ice cream, that was so wonderful. I want to go back again tomorrow. Because this is desire to experience something that, again, something pleasurable. And then you have the pain and pleasure principle, because then the pain is, ooh, I don't want to experience that again. Let's say somebody created dirt ice cream, and just on a whim, you decided to try it, and you said, oh, this is horrible. I never want to try that again. But there again, it's a sensory experience, and you have sensory experience because of the use of a body. You can use the body, just don't identify with it. The problem is when I identify with the body through that label of John, and I say it's John's actions, and then somehow I get mixed up and I say, I'm the doer of these actions. No. The formlessness that you are is having a body form available, but not knowing, again, are any of the dream characters. And they may, tonight you might dream about a whole bunch of people enjoying ice cream, but are they really enjoying the ice cream? Who's the enjoyer of the ice cream? Or let's say two little kids get in a fight and throw one ice cream at the other one. Is there anyone really doing any of that? Who's the deed and the doer? Now, each one of the characters may assume doership, but when you wake up, you're like, wow, that was kind of silly. Both those kids were assuming that they were throwing ice cream at each other and calling each other names, but it couldn't have been. It's just a dream.
That's the sort of sticky thing about drug addiction. When I experienced, well, when the body was convinced it was experiencing drug addiction, from the body perspective, I couldn't be content unless I was carrying that like desire for ice cream or the desire for the alcohol and the drugs around with me, as if I couldn't be myself unless, or I couldn't be content anyway, unless I had that. And, but that's that attachment it just creates, I guess the illusory world is made out of attachment.
I mean, well, attachment to thought.
It wouldn't seem to exist unless there was attachment there.
Addiction is a attachment to thought about the object of desire and wanting it above anything else, and the continuous belief that these are my thoughts. And that's why the kind of reverse of that is that I'm not a doer, and I say I'm not a doer because I say thy will be done. So therefore, then I'm not attached to my concept of doing actions or falling and flowing along with desires.
And somehow I'm here whether I'm attached or not.
Well, again, now we tasted the body-based illusion a little bit there and explained some of the things that are not true. but now we remain with our selfless self. Because the journey to get here, you're here now. So each one of us has had a separate kind of body-based illusory experience of journeying to get to where you always were. Mm-hmm. And that's why Maharaj says it's good not to describe your spiritual journey, so to speak, of getting to here, but now you remain with your selfless self. And you can certainly say, you know what? In meditation, I know that I am not the body. I was not the body. I'm not going to remain the body. And that's not really a big surprise, because Master told me that far before I knew it. He knew it and he told me, you are not body. You were not body. You're not going to remain the body. All I've done is discover this. And who discovered this? The formless I acting through the body, allowing the use of mind to know myself in a real sense, without mind, prior to mind. But at first, it's deliberate action, like Maharaj says. Maharaj gives you a mantra. Remain with your mantra, not just in meditation, but constantly, until the meditation dissolves the meditator. And then there's not even the sense of meditation anymore, because there's no one to meditate. Unless you say that now your daily existence is your meditation, because you're just kind of here. And things are going along, just like if you sit there and you say, oh, in my mind, thoughts are flowing. Well, here you are without any identification of yourself, and scenes are appearing and disappearing within the meditation, because you're just yourself. No ideas about yourself, no trying to form anything other, or the concept of duality or non-duality or anything. Just, I'm here, just here. No one has to tell me I'm here. You know, nobody has to say, oh, John, you're here. Well, yes, thank you.
So, you know, I am attached to the idea that, you know, I am being the body and mind. So because of that only, all these, I think, habits of addiction are there. So, like, how much I'm trying to think here, it is condensing to finding who am I, you know, establishing in that in absolute sense.
Mantra will erase the thoughts slowly, silently, and permanently. As Maharaj says, covered with ash, the fire is burning brightly. Once the ash is removed, fire is there. And then there's that remaining with that fire, with that sense of existence, with that just I, until there's no one there to remain, because it, like we talked about, a black hole, it sucks everything in. Then there's nothing. No one. Body is available, but there's no one. Somebody says, John, okay, John is here, but there's no identification that, oh, this body is John. What happens to John when this body's gone? Well, John is the label of the body. It's not my label. My label, my master gave to me through the mantra. He said, your parents gave the body the label of this, and you went about your life believing that you were this label of this body. But now master says, no, no, no. This was incorrect. You're a Brahman. And so the label of the body is discarded, because now there's a new label, this label of Brahman. But Brahman is given as the mantra to erase all labels. It's the final label, so to speak. And then it's nothing. The body label John will die, but I will not. And even you can't really say it dies. It's just because it's not alive. because you are, this body is. Mm-hmm. That's why Maharaj says, take the presence out of this body, it's a lump of goo. We burn or bury?
Because you are, the ice cream is also.
It's part of the illusory, you know, the illusory experience, the body-based experience. Along with the body, there come so many things. I'm not a body, but I certainly can use all the things that are here and available. I don't try to acquire more things because I'm not a body. So why do I need more things? And if I start to acquire things, then I'm definitely objectified. And I'll flow along with all mind thoughts, you know, this flow of thoughts of objectification of myself and other things. That's why the seeing, but there's no seer. Find the seer. The seer is, there's this formless seer. Seeing what? What is there to be seen? There's no concept of a seer seeing something. Just scenes. Scenes appearing and disappearing.
The enticing nature of the illusion is, I think, has to do with why Jesus called Satan legion, because as soon as you give credential or reality to one thing other than yourself.
Well, yourself, if you give reality to yourself, then you'll see other things because you'll be an object.
It becomes legion. It becomes, you know, it's like an explosion of things or something everywhere.
Yeah. Know yourself in a real sense. Use the body, but you're not the body. Somebody says, hey, John, okay, that's the body label. And the formlessness within you responds, yes, hello, I'm John. And it's quite simple. It's not a fancy thing of, oh, I need to respond as John. No, there's a formless beingness that is responding as per the needs of the moment. No one's born, no one's dying. Something came out of nothing and goes back to nothing. For a time, this something appears as though it's very real, but it's nothing. And you that did not know nothing knew the something because you were there when that something appeared. The sense of existence has appeared to you. If you were not there, then who would this sense of existence appear to? The sense of existence is formless. Just I, formless presence. It clicked with the body and you said, I. Formlessness couldn't speak, but now formlessness clicks with the body, you say, I. Along with I, so many things are here. But your formless I. That's why Maharaj says, humble I. Humble I is formlessness. I don't exist. As anything. Oh, I think we're getting ready to
dissolve.
Yeah, we're about all ready to dissolve, and a new scene will be coming before you.
Okay, thank you. Hasta luego.
Jai Guru.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.